Today on Doomed! Welcome to the annual meeting of Antifa journalists, ladies and gentlemen. Where us Antifa organizing left-wing radicals, who are also journalists, get together to discuss. Alright. In case I've lost you, don't worry, everybody. Today on Doomed with Matt Binder, we have Jared Holt, investigative reporter at Right Wing Watch and host of the Shitpost podcast, to help make sense of that whole intro I just did. Let me pull Jared up right now and we'll get started on today's show. Jared, how are you doing today, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm glad we can have our secretive Antifa journalist meeting in secret. Just the two of us.
Right, it's just the two of us on this very special edition of Doomed, where we just happen to be live streaming this secret meeting.
Oh, fuck that. I'm out. I'll see you later.
So if you, ladies and gentlemen, Doomed listeners, people tuning in for the first time, Shitpost podcast listeners who wanted to check out Jared on this show, someone who is just on social media right now, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, that's where we're all live right now, on a Sunday night at the end of your 4th of July weekend, you might be wondering, okay, what's this whole Antifa secret journalist meeting that Matt and Jared are talking about? Well, that's the topic of today's show. That's why Jared's joining us. Because Jared Holt has wrote this great piece. Where have you written this piece again, Jared, so you could drop that link yourself?
Columbia Journalism Review.
All right, so there, I'll have a link up on the site. Where you guys can check it out. And it should also already be on the Patreon page, where this information of the live stream is all there already. So you wrote this piece, basically, and you looked into... I guess we should start at the beginning. Maybe I should rewind a little bit. So what is this Antifa journalist list? What is this thing that we're joking about right now?
So Interscene, May 15th. This Twitter thread appears. It's this like 18-part Twitter thread, and it shows what it says is a network graph depicting verified on Twitter journalists following or being followed by accounts that, you know, purport to be anti-fascist in nature. And from there, it sort of expands on it and alleges that these different verified journalists have what it says are close connections to Antifa, and that thread goes viral. I think there's a lot of chum in the water for people on the right who want to allege that journalists are somehow more favorable towards anti-fascist organizing than they are. I guess I don't know what the anti-fascist would be, but. So that goes sort of like semi-viral. It gets picked up in places like PJ Media, Breitbart, RT. And then the guy who makes this Twitter thread winds up with a byline on Quillette, where he puts this out. And Quillette is treated as a reputable source among other right-wing media. So from there, it just sort of keeps spreading. And as it spreads, it goes from Quillette to Stormfront, the neo-Nazi forum board, and then from there, hits a few other steps along the way and winds up in the hands of this Gab user who is a, you know, hardcore pro Adam Waffen division type siege poster who's talking about the need for violence and terrorism and stuff.
Don't you hate when those people just happen to show up on your Nazi friendly social media website? Bothers me so much.
Yeah, but then they make this video sort with you know, images of shooters and different music, and the journalists that are highlighted in this Twitter thread and then later on Quillette are then featured, and the caption is "Sunset the Media." So we get this, you know, this Twitter thread gets manufactured into quasi, you know, seemingly legitimate information to these audiences, and then it winds up with these reporters getting very serious threats.
So where did this list come from? Like, who is this guy? Like, I know you mentioned basically where it was posted and everything, but who is this? What is his name? Owen or Ian? What's his last name again? We were just talking about him.
Linehan.
Linehan. All right. So who is this guy really? Like, what's his deal? I'm assuming, you know, as a true, you know, researcher and analyst who did the work here, he found out that you were doing a piece on his work, and he wanted to speak with you to set the record straight.
He insisted that I email him after multiple requests to just get on the phone. I thought it would be easier to, if I had follow-up questions and that sort of thing, to just have a conversation. 30-minute conversation goes a lot further than, you know, 8 to 10 questions in an email. But he didn't do that. So this guy, Linehan, he has a doctorate in philosophy, I believe it is. It's been a few weeks since I've written this story. And essentially what that means in the German education system is that you like studied at a school for a certain amount of time. It's not the same sort of like doctorate program we think of in the US. And that doctorate was in, I think it's called pedagogy, or I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. But it's essentially the study of like how to educate people.
Hmm.
Although people who have been watching this space for a while would better know him by his moniker, Prague Dad. Prague Dad was this ostensibly a satire account. It was a troll account that ran deep in these squads that have organized on Twitter that were spreading disinformation, that were at one point engaging in a harassment campaign against journalists, spamming them with photos of bricks, implying a violent threat. So when you connect the dots, essentially this thing was made by a Twitter troll who, like, and I will hand it to him, like, a very elaborate, like, thought-out one at that. You know, this is a guy who once filmed a video of himself doing a expose on groypers and, like, went through all the trouble to, like, go under a bridge and, like, tape a printed-out groyper to, like, a pole on the bridge and film this video about it. You know, I mean, this wasn't just, like, some, like, idiot on his phone. This was a guy who was committed to the bit.
All right, so for people who don't know, what is that? Explain really quick.
A groyper?
Yeah.
Imagine Pepe, but, like, kind of deformed and a bit more racist.
All right. It's basically like, if you thought Pepe was dumb, it's like, take the dumbest right-wing meme you could think of and... That's probably it.
Yeah, you like dump Pepe in a blender and like spill him out on the table, and that's like what groyper is.
Now, so this guy is basically this right wing troll who put together this list of did he ever publish what made up this, like how he even got this data, if there was anything even behind it, or was just him just randomly picking any sort of Twitter user that he deemed to be on the left or had liberal leanings or something like that?
So the way he explained how he did this was he just used this like digital tool to make a network connected graph, which really only shows follows, and, you know, it's not really like engagements. It doesn't show whether these journalists he selected to highlight, and they're not even journalists, they were just verified accounts. Or I should say not all of them were journalists. And it doesn't show if they were replying back and forth, if they were messaging, if they were friendly with each other, just that they followed each other. And that doesn't really prove anything. I follow a lot of people I don't agree with, you know, by that same logic. You know, if you follow someone like Richard Spencer, would I say you have a close connection with Richard Spencer, or that you just want to keep an eye on Richard Spencer, or like want that information just sort of in your peripheral vision? You know, the point is like,
right. I mean, for example, I follow, and I'm sure many people do, I follow Donald Trump, and you know, while I obviously voted for him, I'm not like the craziest Donald Trump supporter. I just follow him because it's fun to follow Donald Trump. I don't support him. There's a lot of people, like you mentioned, that everyone I'm sure follows, that you just follow just to see. For example, how many people who follow Kanye actually like Kanye's music? I'm going to guess not the majority.
Yeah, and how many have a close connection with Kanye? Probably like 10.
Right. Right.
I mean, essentially,
it's Kim Kardashian. No, but right. No, I know exactly what you're saying. It's ridiculous to honestly infer anything based on who's following who on Twitter other than, hey, this person's following this person on Twitter.
Right. And like that was paired with this critique of various journalists for giving people who self-identify as anti-fascist quotes in their stories and that sort of thing. But like, I feel like that's two criticisms. You know, it's, you can make the criticism that like you think a journalist is not being harsh enough on a certain subject. That's one thing. It's your opinion. You're welcome to it. But when you try to bring this like weird network graph that doesn't even really tell us anything about it and try to do like try to slam the two together, that's where there's like a real issue, and there should have been very serious fact checking, and like that would have never cleared at an NBC or a Washington Post or a New York like that wouldn't have got off the editing room floor, let alone published.
Well, if correct me if I'm wrong, but this list wasn't just like, hey, these people are left leaning, so they may be, you know, sympathetic or right in a more, I don't know, positive tone about Antifa or the left in general. But it went further than that. Didn't this list try to make the case in some way, or the people who were covering it tried to make the case in some way that this data showed that we were at, you know, the left-wing journalists were actually working in tandem somehow with Antifa?
That was sort of the implication that was put forward, if not explicitly in the piece by the people who were promoting it, absolutely. And that's sort of where I think it gets a little dangerous. You, like, we have this right-wing environment where Antifa, anti-fascist folks are quick to be branded domestic terrorists. And if you slap something that has come to be associated with domestic terrorists on a journalist who's just trying to do their job and report on the far right and get interviews with sources and stuff, like, you're putting that journalist in risk.
Right.
At the hands of your audience. It's not even just like, you know, if you're priming your audience with one oil and then you hit the match, you know, I just don't know what a reasonable person who took a step back and thought about it would expect from that.
Well, I got a hint for you, Jared. We're not dealing with reasonable people. So we're going to get more into those specific outlets, one in particular we're going to go into, but I want to talk a little bit more about this list in general, because, and this may be a little bit off the topic, but I don't think so. I think this list, the way it was covered, the way it was even just created and put out there, I think it just continues to show how maybe it's a combination of two things. The right still doesn't understand what Antifa is. Or B, they don't want their audience to understand what Antifa is, and they get it. Like, the idea that there's some sort of membership, like a card-carrying membership group called Antifa that gets together and plots these things out, and there's some sort of journalist line in there where they're part of the group or working in tandem with the group. It's ridiculous. Like, it's just literally, Antifa is just like, the same as saying I'm a progressive or I'm a leftist or I'm a right winger or I'm a conservative without actually belonging to any sort of specific group like a Turning Point USA or, I don't know, Stormfront or something like that. It's literally...
Yeah, I mean, I've been at these protests, whether it's in Portland, in D.C., in New York City, you know, and I've talked to these activists. It's my job to go out there and talk to, you know, anybody who will talk to me.
It's your job as a journalist and also your job as the head of press for Antifa Incorporated, right? Yes.
Oh, God. No. It's, no, but I mean, I talk to them and there's what you're saying, there's not a coherent ideology going on there. You have everyone from anarchist to, you know, people from the local library. Like, I would talk to groups in Portland, they'd be like workers unions, concerned moms who have kids who just didn't want that in their city. You know, it's sort of a big bundle of people. Right. So it's more like, I feel like it's more accurate to say that like Antifa is like the gathering of those people. It's not really like a coherent group or ideology. I don't think anybody's paying like.
Speaking of the gathering, there Antifa are also dues. There are also juggalos, I'm sure, in Antifa. Speaking of,
I haven't run into any juggalos personally.
I do remember, not to go off topic here, but I do remember that when the Insane Clown Posse was holding their rally in Washington to get themselves delisted as an official like gang, according to the FBI, they ran into like an Antifa protest or something like that, and they joined up because they're not a fan of the fash. The clowns are not down with the fash.
Oh, man. That doesn't surprise me. But
but let's talk a little bit more about... So this guy, Linehan, either Ian, Owen, or a combination of the two. It's because it's spelled like E. So people understand. It's not like we're lazy and didn't look up whether it's Owen, O-W-E-N, or Ian, I-A-N. No, it's spelled E-O-I-N. And we were debating before we went live whether it's Ian or Owen because we feel like it could go either way. So I'm going to just call him E-Owen. So
yeah, that's the problem of being I do my reporting in writing. So like right. I do this on my podcast all the time. I just botch names like crazy. I could spell them with my eyes shut.
But listen, if this was a guy that, if this was even some sort of right-wing figure that does some sort of media, obviously we didn't just like show up on air and not do anything. Like we looked up all, I personally did, I know you did too, because we're discussing it. We know how to pronounce every name we're going to tell you on this show, except for this one guy, because he's never been on any shows. He's just a dude who's presenting himself as something he's not. And put together this random list of names that he's showcasing as some sort of Antifa journalist connection and right-wing organization. It's literally frothing at the mouth waiting to publish this list, I'm sure. I'm sure this dropped in their mailbox and they were literally like, they couldn't hit post quicker in WordPress, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I mean... It fits the narrative, so I'm sure it glided through. But, you know, it came out later. All these right-wing outlets tried to, like, out-report me on this story after my Columbia Journalism review piece came out. And it was kind of a telling episode where it was like, as this guy went to sympathetic press, like the Daily Caller, I think PJ Media at one point, some weird Canadian site called the Post Millennial, which I had never heard of until I got Google News alerts from them.
Let me tell you this, like, man. It's the weirdest thing. The Post Millennial is starting to show up everywhere, the same as that website, even more so than that website, Culture with 3 T's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know who I saw tweeted out? And I don't know if you really know who this is, but this audience knows who this is. Freaking Jamie Kilstein, formerly of Citizen Radio, who got outed for, you know, I was friendly with Jamie. I would consider him a friend back in the day. But he had his own sort of Me Too moment and disappeared. Citizen Radio ended. And he showed back up from being Mr. Vegan Progressive to all of a sudden being like a version of Dave Rubin writing for the post-millennial with the whole both sides do it sort of shtick. And it's like, that's how I discovered the post-millennial, because of Jamie Kilstein writing for them. And it's like, man, what a disappointment, dude. But that's a little, another little segue on this episode. No, not segue, another little off topic. Segue would be if it made sense. Continue, Jared, I'm sorry. It's the 4th of July weekend, everyone. I hope you have your red cups like I do. Hope it's just soda in mine, so I know I might be acting like there's more than just soda in mine. But, but continue, Jared. I'm sorry for interrupting there with that unnecessary left field remark.
It's okay. This happens every time we talk, whether you're on mine or I'm on yours.
It does. I do that a lot on every show, and I apologize every time when I should just stop and just realize, no, that's just... that's just the show. We're going to do it, folks. That's how it goes.
All right. So we'll pause, rewind a minute and a half, So all these stories, you know, he went to these outlets. They started running these very sympathetic stories to this guy, touting all these credentials that he didn't really have. But as more unfolded, and I found out a lot of this during my original reporting, because I mean, it's Columbia Journalism Review. They're not going to let me publish anything unless I report it down to the ground and back up again.
Right. And also to make sure that you have everything correct with the heads of Antifa, because I'm sure Columbia Journalism Review is also in cahoots. But continue, Jeff.
Of course. No. It's and I kind of got the impression that this guy, like, had maybe, you know, he reached out to these various places and had at least had informal discussions, slightly more formal discussions with another institute for places that do research about extremism, and had some conversations, had, you know, moderated a panel at one point. But these aren't qualifications to be an expert voice. You don't, you know, apply for a job to gain skills and gain experience being so that you can become an expert voice, and then when you don't get the job, like, become the expert voice anyway, right? If that makes sense.
Right.
You know, if I've been tracking right-wing media and far-right media for years now, and if I had originally applied to this job and I didn't get the job, I wouldn't have, like, be in that expert, you know. Feels like very common sense, but I'm trying to explain it anyway.
So you're not... Oh, boy. I have to tell you something about my whole career, Jared.
If I apply to NASA, I will probably not in 4 years go to the moon, if that makes sense.
Oh.
So this guy, you know, he was just... He's been, like, repeatedly dishonest and has been really misrepresenting this case that he really does have some credentials to speak on this topic. But at the end of the day, as, like, more gets reported out, he's exactly who I said he was. He's this, you know, troll who made a network graph, or, you know, a friend made a network graph, and that's it. He's very clearly ideologically driven. He was very opaque with the data set, the methodology, the way it was selected, the study that he said it's submitted, it's under review, it's not peer reviewed, like, no, you know, kind of academic would normally put out work like this online before it's peer reviewed, because if it's wrong, if it gets rejected in peer review or something, like, your credibility gets shot. So it's, at the end of the day, I'm still feeling pretty good about this story, despite the fact that, like, the wagon circled against me.
Right. Well, I think, you know, in this day and age, I think it's legit for, I think anyone really could put something together like this, and possibly, you know, without, obviously you can't misrepresent yourself. Like, I've had on this show, you know, basically people who track different, like, social media analytics and data to try to break down, you know, where, you know, fake news is coming from, where misinformation, disinformation, foreign interference in some cases, you know, but we always represent them as, you know, this is someone who, this is their qualifications. Maybe they're a software engineer. Maybe they do data analytics on their own, like their own hobby sort of thing. This is their data, and this is how they're proving to us what they found. But it's all presented that way, and with that addendum and that understanding that these people are good at what they do. I wouldn't have them on the show if they weren't. But, you know, they are exactly who we're also telling you they are.
If you're going to provide anything as, like, scientific proof, as, you know, objective, undeniable fact, unquestionable fact, you have to be as transparent and forward as possible. And that's just not what we saw here.
Right, exactly. Because, listen, anyone nowadays, and as you know, I'm sure, from your work and seeing this, anyone can do journalism, especially now. And that's good. Everyone should do journalism.
Awesome.
That's great. Yes. Whether you want to be journalist or not, you should report what you see. Spread the word about things that you think are problematic or something important happened in front of you. Definitely. But also, don't misrepresent yourself and try to bullshit stats to try to bolster a claim you're making that may or may not be true. And like you just laid out for us, that's the case of what happened here.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some, you know, very hardworking journalists found themselves at the brunt of threats because of this. It's not like this isn't a game. You know, these reporters are reporting on groups and movements that very well, you know, I report on some of these groups, not, you know, we don't all share a beat, but like there's some overlap there. And, you know, it places you in situations where you can often be the subject of very intense, very credible threats, if not just outright violence.
Do you know specifically that there were people on that list who were, I mean, I've seen people say it on Twitter, but I just want to confirm for the sake of the show. You've seen people say they were harassed due to this list.
Yeah, I've spoken to many of them. And there was the video. We have a copy of the video still. It was reported to law enforcement. People reportedly received harassing messages. They received threats. And I didn't talk to anybody who got reached for comment on this, you know, original series of stories that went out. I didn't reach out to all, I think it was like 15 or 16 people that were named in this so-called study. But I reached out to a handful of them and tried to get information, see what they knew. And apparently these things ran without even giving them a call or asking them, you know, hey, what are we looking at here? Which is another just utter failure of any sort of, you know, the bare basics of journalistic ethics.
Right.
If you're going to break news on a story, you need to reach for comment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And clearly the person who put this together did not want to be reached for comment. But let's now segue to this, because this is where I think we get into, you know, I think your piece is great as is, but you, I don't think we're able to tell the future and see that a certain editor of a certain outlet that published this list would have their very own interaction with Antifa just a week or two later that pretty much blew up everywhere. So let's get to this outlet. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, is it the Quillette?
It's Quillette, yes.
Tell us about Quillette, because interestingly enough, while I've been following this, you know, this outlet online, I've made fun of various things they've put out there. I don't think I've talked much about them on this show yet. So let's get a little bit of a quick primer on basically what is Quillette, what is their political leanings, who runs the show there?
Yeah, so Quillette is a Australian digital site. It's headed up, it was founded, and is currently led by a woman named Claire Lemon. She, you know, went through sort of university academic circles, very fascinated with this idea that some sort of like genetic difference could explain differences in, you know, qualitative studies between things like crime rates, if I remember correctly, you know, violence, stuff like that. So trying to take like a hyper academic route towards what gets distilled down in its most racist form as like right. race and IQ stuff.
Right. I think there's a name for that sort of racism.
But yeah, this site has expanded in the past few years, and now has writers based in the U.S. and has been, you know, getting some pretty significant traffic as the intellectual dark web rose up. That was like one of the things that came up with it, as Dave Rubin, as Joe Rogan, all these people from that infamous Barry Weiss profile sort of rose up to the center of politics in America. Along came this website, this Australian website.
Yeah, I was...
And, you know, with that, it's like the website claims to come from, you know, the same term we hear all the time, classically liberal perspective, where even it, you know, and there are like occasionally some viewpoints published on the site that sort of like swing all over, you know, the political dial. but generally, I think most people on the left would interpret the sort of the way things are framed there and sort of the ratio of content to be more favorable towards right-leaning narratives and right-leaning perspectives.
Right. I mean, I pretty much have a belief that the reason they even post any of that very rare swinging all over the political ideological spectrum is basically so they could make that claim that, hey, we're not a right-wing publication. Look at these three articles we've published in the history of our complete... You know, it's the same reason I think that Joe Rogan has someone as boring and inconsequential as the Peter Thiel guy. What's his name? Eric Weinstein or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why... No one cares about that guy. He has no place anywhere. He's not an important figure on the right. He's not an important figure in the center. He's not an important figure on the left. He's literally just there because he likes to say he's a liberal who just happens to somehow believe everything the right does. And, hey, have this guy on because we could at least say, look, we have a liberal on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could most accurately describe Colette as, like, libertarian, if that makes sense. Like, the libertarian cause aligns more closely with the right-wing cause and I think is naturally more sympathetic to that cause.
Yeah, I could see. I think you're right there. I actually think it's more so even just like, you know, just literally, I know it's not an ideology, but it's literally just an outlet that has completely tried to become, like you mentioned earlier, the outlet for the intellectual dark web. And I would say those guys aren't libertarian, but I think that that's an accurate description somewhere in the middle.
That's at least the vibe they're trying to give
right
off,
you know? Like somewhere in between libertarian and just straight up being an IDW website. That's definitely Quillette. Now, something really funny happened on Twitter when the editor Claire Lemon tried to defend her fact-checking and rigorous review of this Antifa journalist list they published after you basically in the nicest of ways, I'm going to classify it as this, tore their journalist, any sort of journalistic integrity they could ever pose to have, to shreds.
Well, appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's something like I can be a jerk online, but I am 100% ushy-gushy sweetie on the inside. And if I'm reaching you for professional reasons, I will be nice to you. But Claire told me that I was an activist and not a journalist, which I must have, like, forgot my pink hat and, like, resist sign somewhere.
Right.
But, yeah, no, something really funny happened, though. Will Sommer from The Daily Beast, like, replied to her tweeting out a screenshot of my, again, very polite request for comment, you know, and was like, yo, WTF, you didn't fact check this? And she told him to kiss her ass. So big brains going on.
Maybe
right there.
Maybe
that's just what journalists do.
Maybe, yeah. That's all Ian had to do to get his stuff published in Quillette.
Well, you know, now we're just getting into speculation.
I'm sorry. That was I just received a text from some of the corporate board of Antifa, and they wanted me to say that. So I had to just drop in that line. But so let's now talk about this event that happened last week where an editor in Quillette, who arguably, in my opinion, has sort of become the de facto, even before this thing pushed him to the spotlight, this guy, Andy Ngo, NGO, Andy Ngo, has basically, in my view, from what I've seen, become sort of like the de facto face of Quillette. And last weekend, he went to an Antifa march rally. It was a counter-protest to a far-right rally that was going on in Portland. And something happened. Something we are not quite sure what happened exactly yet. We may never even know. Because the video footage out there starts at the moment where Andy and someone marching with Antifa come to blows.
Well, we assume that's the moment it starts. There might have been things that preceded it. There may
well,
have
that's when
been
the
things
video
that came
starts,
after.
That's when the video yeah. starts, right. Yes. Right. Just in case no one understood. I didn't say that. The video starts right there where someone hits Andy just out of the blue, seemingly. And this video just starts there. Oddly enough, no other person with cameras or video recording in that area, which you can see plenty of, gets into any sort of problem with anyone there. Just Andy, who just, I don't know, just happens to be this guy who writes for Quillette and is an editor there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that went viral. It's been the cycle of what was probably a solid like 3 or 4 days of like a piece of the news cycle. So this was pretty much everywhere.
Now, do you have any sort of feeling on, in terms of Andy and Quillette and sort of what their history was in going to these events? Like, is this something they regularly covered? And, you know, what was, because, you know, Antifa's, you know, these Antifa counter-protests, you know, back in, like, 2017 when there was all these Patriot Prayer type of marches happening in on the West Coast especially, and Antifa was showing a counter-protest, that stuff was covered a lot. But I would say in mm-hmm. the past, like, year or so, the rights events have sort of dwindled, especially in light of what happened in Charlottesville, meaning that Antifa have had less counter-protests to organize, meaning there were not so much coverage on any of these sort of smaller events happening. So, you know, what was... Does Quillette normally cover these Antifa events?
So, from what I understand, Anti lives somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. And Portland has been having these Patriot Prayer rallies for a couple years now. Oftentimes you get members of very extreme groups with extreme ideologies showing up, and you get a whole lot of people that show up just sort of wanting to provoke some sort of response that in their mind justifies violence. Something that's been happening in the background that doesn't get reported out as much is a series of like anti-gay beatings from these people, you know, very you know, malicious attempts at like graffiti, property destruction, that sort of thing outside of a protest. Andy has been, since he's, I guess, ostensibly in the area, covering these events from a perspective and seemingly with the goal of sort of further antagonizing people, which, as a journalist, like, I cover this stuff all the time. Nobody, you know, has taken swipes at me. I've got like bumped around and bruised up a little bit, but not like I've never been like punched before. But I think like part of that is like my job is not to it's to like be a passive observer, not to antagonize people or, you know, throw loaded questions in people's faces. But that seems to be what he was doing. Over the years, he would like go to like DSA sign-up sheets and start like filming people's names and email addresses. Allegedly, he would be filming people yelling about like police codes they were violating and stuff. So, you know, the Antifa side, if it is a side, is was not, I guess, they weren't fans, is the way I'll put it.
Right. Right. I mean, I wouldn't be a fan of someone shoving a camera in my face when I don't want to be recorded either. Now, you know, I think a lot of people on the right tried to use this sort of event because they portray Andy as some sort of innocent bystander just shooting a public space and not getting in anyone's face, bothering anyone. And this was just unprovoked. But like you mentioned, and like I've seen from journalists who were on the ground there, they've said how, you know, he was out there, it seemed, to bother people, it seemed, allegedly. At the very least, I've seen reports that, yes, he did, in fact, like you mentioned, get in people's face and try to get their identities on camera. And again, if you're just a journalist, you go and you report what you're seeing. You don't get involved. You don't shove your hand or your camera in someone's face in an attempt to get their, you know, to get a full view of their face that's covered. You know, if they're, you know, if their bandana falls off their face, that's one thing. But if you're trying to, you know, get into someone's face specifically to ID them somehow, that's not what journalists do.
Yeah, and I mean, people are going to be hostile. And, you know, I will make the caveat here that, you know, if somebody sticks a camera in your face, I don't think that punching them is an appropriate response. I do think it's unfortunate that he got, hit around a little bit.
I just want to say right there that anyone on the right listening to this or watching this right now, that right there should be your proof that Jared Holt is definitely not an Antifa journalist.
I mean, whatever that even means, man. I mean, I don't like fascism. Is that a crime?
Jared is not in cahoots with Antifa. He has seemingly pulled a Joe Biden and denounced their behavior. No, but this is what I think. You know, they're really trying to portray both sides as bad, wherever you are on the right. Like, obviously, if you're a Patriot Prayer person on the ground there, you know what you're doing in the battle, your battles with Antifa. But what we've covered that on the show many times. But to me, the sort of mainstream right, or the people who try to present themselves as mainstream right, like the Quillettes, they need to create this narrative that the other side is just as violent, because then there's no way to defend that, hey, how can we possibly be on the same spectrum as the undoubtedly bad guys walking around with Nazi paraphernalia, with guys who are hitting people with sticks and are not allowed to leave their state anymore because of sort of the legal ramifications of what they've done, base stick man, for example. It's something to me that this whole, it goes up there with the whole thing where it's like, oh yeah, well, what is socialism and communism has done? It's killed millions of people. It's like Antifa is out there marching for some sort of political ideology. It's just ridiculous. It's literally people all over the left wing spectrum, from your, like you mentioned, we got librarians and moms to anarchists saying, hey, we don't want Nazis, white supremacists, white nationalists, people on the far right in our town. And that's all it is. And they, if a normal person who isn't in the political bubble hears that and finds out that, they're going to be on that side. So they have to hear that, these guys are just as violent and they wear masks. You know, I mean,
it's one big game of like the thing that 8-year-olds do where they go, I know you are, but what am I? It's just, yes, like that, but like a sophisticated media operation.
Listen, I want to say in my dream world, this is my ideology. In my dream world, when Andy Ngo gets punched in the face, he gets to go to the hospital and not have to put together a GoFundMe for his medical bills, because he would be covered under Medicare for All. Because the left-wing position is nobody should die, no one should get sick and be stuck in debt. Everyone should be taken care of and not worried about these sort of things. But the right can't say that. They have to say that Antifa wants to do harm to innocent journalists just trying to do their job. But that's just what we've become used to now. Like, there's no sort of turning, you know, there's no sort of speaking any sense to it. The only thing left to do is to sort of debunk the obvious lies. Like when someone puts out an Antifa journalist cahoots list and tries to claim that people like yourself are... Were you on the list, by the way, Jared?
I was not. That would have been a conflict of interest, and I wouldn't have been able to report that story.
Ah, so you're definitely the real deal there. A lot of those people on that list, I would say, are in your wheelhouse in terms of, if I was to put together a list of people who cover this stuff, you would be on that list. In fact, if I were you, I'd be a little bit upset I wasn't on that list. But
I mean, that was my first thought. Was like, how did I miss this? Like, I definitely follow these accounts. I follow everybody that like is involved in my reporting, because I don't want something to happen over here that like I miss that influences this thing over here that I see and like not understand what the connection is.
Right. But right.
Whatever. The last thing I want to say on the Andy Ngo thing, though, is that I feel like the people in the media space that were really hyping this up and promoting this and spinning it overplayed their hands with the cement milkshakes thing.
Like, right. There's, we didn't even get to this that. Guy, right. Yes, a, right. Go ahead,
there's
please.
There's this guy I follow. His name's Josh Russell. Bless his heart. He was like building some concrete steps outside his house and the day after and like took the liberty of trying to make a cement milkshake like in his backyard to show that like, no, it's obviously cement. If you mix anything with cement, it looks like cement.
Right.
And really just overplayed the hand there. And I feel like those moments where the hand is overplayed can almost tell you like as much about the situation as in a broader context of like, oh, if these parts of this story have panned out and were just misrepresentations or non-credible, are there other aspects of this story that we should ask questions about as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, first of all, the reason milkshakes are being thrown at the right now is obviously because when you purchase a milkshake and you're headed to throw it at a fascist or a fascist sympathizer, you take a few sips on the way to hydrate yourself. You can't do that with a cement milkshake.
It's a scorcher out there, folks. You gotta.
You can't do that. So you don't get to kill the two birds with one stone. No, but the idea that the cement milkshake thing was being passed around, I don't even understand how. It's just one of those things that the right is so good at doing. They come up with this on social media. You'll see it all the time. These bizarre things that only like, not to throw this very specific generation under the bus, but let me do it. Boomers are really good at coming up with this really bizarre, like, you know, they put poison in the Pop Rocks. And like they come up with these weird, nonsensical things that no one would do because they just weren't, like, who would think to put, even try making cement milkshakes? Why would you do that? That would be
It takes cement like half an hour to dry. I don't right. know. Like, but like what got so bad about that was like the claim bounced around a little bit and then like somebody at the Portland Police Department was like, oh shit, really? I need to send that out. And then it just like blew up the whole situation. And like suddenly this was the thing that was reported in otherwise like credible outlets. But they're like, the police said they heard this. So now we're saying it.
Right. They would never do the police would never do that in any other circumstance. Are you kidding me? They would broadcast reports that they are hearing. Like, that is unbelievable that would happen. And clearly, like you said, it added credibility to this ridiculous concrete milkshake claim that anyone with half a brain would know was clearly not true. I don't even know what I want to say something more about the idea of cement milkshakes, but I'm literally cannot even think what else could be said about something so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what do you think is, so Andy, by the way, has, what is he? He made something like $180,000 on his GoFundMe or something like that.
I think more than that. I think he might've hit 200,000.
Right. I mean,
which I will gladly, you know, take a couple punches for half that, but would prefer a milkshake, honestly.
You know what, man? Forget the milkshake. Literally cover me up to my neck in cement. I'll take the $200,000. Do it. And then you guys can just chisel me out.
I don't think you actually want that.
No, but it's unbelievable, these things that like literally, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. That's the essence of this entire thing. If I really wanted to do a 2-minute like TV spot on this, that's the ball game right there. Here is the right wing grift once again. That's what it's all about. I mean, they know at this point, whatever they do, put out an Antifa hit list and an Antifa journalist list, and then when they come at us, we'll turn ourselves into the victims and raise money off of it. Let's go to an Antifa counter-protest. We'll get in people's faces. We'll egg them on till someone snaps and punches us, and then we'll raise money off of it and line our pockets. Like, that is the outfit here. That is the revenue stream. That is the business model. That is the entirety of this whole, literally, scam. That's what it is. The right-wing media sphere at this point is literally a get-rich-quick scam. It is a late-night, 2 in the morning infomercial trying to fool you to get that extra huggy, snuggy, I should say, I'm sorry, snuggy for the $10 in 10 monthly installments extra.
well, huggies if you're TPUSA.
That's true too, right. It's literally the Trump bear, where you're getting a teddy bear for $50 a month, 3 installments. It's like, that is the game here. It is all about how can they make people feel bad for them, make them think that, hey, I'm doing something important here that you have to fund me for. I'm a victim. They're coming after me, and I can't do my work if you don't fund me. Which, by the way, patreon.com/MattBinder, folks. I can't do my work. They're coming at me. The right wants me. I can't. You gotta donate. Otherwise, I can't do what I'm doing here. But literally, that's there. That's the thing. That's the scheme. And, you know, Jared, I joke about it, but what's going on, man? Come on, people. If you're not a right winger, you gotta help the other side debunk this shit and join their Patreons. Donate to them.
The left needs a better grift. We haven't figured it out. Like, I mean, I guess, like, or I don't know. It's like the people that actually care about stuff on the left, and certainly, like, reporters that personally lean to the left, like, still have that thing inside them called a conscience, because like the biggest superpower you can have in media is to not feel shame. If you don't feel shame in what you're doing, then like you're unstoppable.
Right.
People like Jacob Wool, for example, that dude gets caught in every lie. That dude gets embarrassed like up and down every time he does anything in public, but he feels no shame, and that makes him like a god figure in the media ecosystem, and then thus attracts more media coverage, and the cycle goes on and on, you know?
Right. I mean, if you think about it, even our equivalent, even the left's equivalent of a grifter. And when I say left, I'm not meaning the ideological left. I mean, just anyone left of the right, your liberals, your centrist Democrat types, like even someone like, I don't know, a True Facts Stated or a Krasenstein Brothers or an Amy Siskind. Well, she might be a bad example because I'm pretty sure she's raking in money. But the Krasensteins are a good example. They had a huge following online. But when you look at their Patreon or whatever, when they had their podcast out there, I mean, it was a decent little amount if you're just a nobody. But for the amount of people they had following their every word and retweeting their stuff, again, I'm sure the content wasn't so great, but that's not how this works. Doesn't
right,
matter.
Yeah.
The quality of the content doesn't matter. But
like having a big social media following doesn't mean you get people out in events. It doesn't mean you convince people to help financially support what you're doing.
Right.
Like the broader left hasn't like figured out what that missing link is between the two.
Listen, if there's anyone who could
Boomers.
tell you, well, I'm going somewhere else with this. If there's anyone who can tell you that social media follower numbers don't equal cash money, it's Jared and myself, I can tell you.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's truth.
But what were you going to say about... Oh, right. That's another thing. You're absolutely right that another problem is we need to start running, I guess, really hyper-focused advertising on boomers on Facebook to sort of, because clearly, A, they've got the money. They're the last generation that'll probably have the money. And clearly their money is funding this stuff, on the right at least. We need to get, there's got to be some like old school hippies that struck it rich at some point. And are living in the, I don't know, the vineyards in California or something, who can donate to some sort of leftist podcasts.
Yeah, no, we need a boomer revolution. We're going to infiltrate QAnon, sign them all up for DSA, and get them, you know, if they're not that far, you know, at least get them like tweeting those Nancy Pelosi clap things.
What was it? Like that. Oh my God. Oh, that's a whole nother podcast, man. That's a whole nother podcast. But, oh, wait, hold on one second. I'm getting a, sorry, folks. I'm getting a message from my Antifa producer that it's time to wrap up the show with. No, Jared, it was great talking with you. Thank you for running down this Antifa, journalist list, because it was, first of all, your story was incredible by itself. And then like the Quillette angle that happened after they tried to defend this stuff was just the cherry on top. I thought it was the cherry on top. But no, just literally another week later, the cherry on top was Andy Ngo showing up at an Antifa event and basically proving in a sense that it's not that Antifa is in cahoots with journalists to try to promote Antifa. It's literally proof right there that it's the opposite, that someone, to me, in my opinion, this has to be directly like some sort of you know dark money foundation is funding Quillette, well, where I'm sure there is some sort of dark money going there in some sort of fashion, but we're seeing that, you know, without a doubt, Andy sees that they get money from regular right wingers like the people who subscribe to our Patreons, and they go, hey, how can we up that? You know, how can we raise some more funds? Let's go bother Antifa and look for trouble. Whether they knew what they were going to get into, the extent of it, who knows? But they definitely were looking for some sort of event to bolster their anti-Antifa cred.
And I think what the difference is instead of going out and finding the conflict and reporting on it, there's like a role of trying to create the conflict, which I think is what sets like whatever is going on there with like otherwise legitimate news gathering, you know, operations.
Right. One's legitimate journalism. The other is literally, why don't you give a call to Keemstar over on Drama Alert? And that'll probably get you more views than whatever silliness you're doing on the right at these Antifa counter protests. Jared Holt. Of Right Wing Watch, investigative reporter now.
Yes,
I like that title. Beautiful title. At Right Wing Watch. And also host of the Shitpost podcast. That's SH!TPOST. Do you want to name drop a URL where people can listen to the podcast?
We're at Substack. It's shtpost.substack.com. You can pay to subscribe on a monthly or annual basis, and we do a newsletter with the podcast too.
Gotta get me in.
I keep saying we. It's me. I do it.
I do that too, man. It's like it's impossible not to when you're talking about a show, because you know you have to also give credit to my producer, from Antifa over there, and my right. I got the entire production crew with the lighting, the camera guy on my left.
They're all
here.
There. They're just out of frame.
Just out of frame. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean when I say wait. Jared, it's always a pleasure. By the way, welcome to the 4-time appearance club on Doom.
Hey, who do I share company with? Do you remember?
I think you're there with David Bixenspan. Nice. I think I'm pretty sure Kelly Weil. And I want to say one or two other people, but I can't think of them right now. But it's definitely a small So we're on like almost show 70, I think, over here. 65, 66. And I don't do many doubles. In fact, it's like literally people who've showed up like once or twice and then people who've showed up like four times. There's no three-timers anymore. You were the one.
All right. Well, I'll be back next week to reclaim the throne. You can put the rest of them on notice if you want.
Well, the funny thing is I was speaking to, two weeks ago, I spoke with Michael Hayden at Hate Watch. And he brought up your article and he gave us like a really brief like rundown of basically not the story so much as the sort of quick sort of background of how this guy was known as Prague. Probably known as Prague.
Prague Dad.
Prague Dad. Ian was
Progressive
Owen.
Dad.
Yeah, yeah, Prague Dad. Yeah. And, you know, I said to him, literally, people like you, I said to him specifically, but in general, people like him, you, Kelly Weil, like I just mentioned before, I could have you guys on every week and there'd be some new insanity. Each one of you could bring a new sort of right wing insanity to this show. And it's just that crazy. It's that, like, the news cycle on the right goes so fast because they need to come up with so much ridiculous stuff to make a mountain out of a molehill out of, so they could, like we just said, build up this sort of revenue model. We need to do that, Jared. Stat.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Jared.
Revenue model. We'll talk about it in the next meeting.
Right. At the next, right. Yeah. Quiet. That's our little secret. Take care, Jared. Antifa for life.
Take care, Matt. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you for coming on, Jared. Always a pleasure.
All right. Cheers.
All right, folks. To support this show, go to patreon.com/Matt Binder. The current asking price is $5. You can give more. You can give less. As of right now, it all gets you the same. It gets you the bonus show. Every week, we do a public show for everybody that gets released as a podcast on iTunes, Google Play, etc. And then we also continue going after that show ends on the live stream. And we talk, usually we talk a little bit more about what just happened on the main show. We'll sometimes hit smaller stories that happen during the week. Other times we just literally back and forth conversation, chit chat with the YouTube live streamers. Every now and then I'll take calls, but usually there's not enough time because we always go long with the guest. But I'm also going to start, I've been talking about this many times, but we're going to get this going because the Patreon is growing. And when the Patreon grows, I can do more with you guys. I am going to start planning out, I'm going to talk with the Patreon subscribers to figure this out, a call-in show that we do at least once a month to make sure that even if we can't fit in calls on the weekly member show, there is a show a month where it's just all calls. And we've done one or two of those before, actually, in the past, since this show's been going over the past year and a half, and they've been great. Lots of callers. I've enjoyed them immensely, especially the Bernie Sanders one we did when Bernie jumped into the race. So patreon.com/Matt Binder. This show is not possible without the people who subscribe on Patreon. And those people are Abigail T, Adam Q, Alan B, Andrew H, Benji, this is the bun, what? What are you, Benji? Hold on, I'm trying to pull up his full name here. What? Oh, come on. It's, all right, well, I can't, it's, I think it's the bun warmer, something like that. But thank you, Benji. Bobby M, Brooke H, Champagne Kami, G, Christine H, Colin R, Dakota R, Dan, and then also Dan M, Dank Uger, Dave K, David HZ, Dragon Slayer, Floaties, Froz K, Francis Z, FTW All Day, Greg D, Ian Curtis J, Jameson Test, Janelle A, Jasmine H, Jeff K, Jonathan B, Joseph R, Katie S, Kyle, Lisa D, Max W, User Me, Melissa M, Michael J, Michael M, Mr. Danks, Nicole A, Namde Net, Omid M, Romina O, Ryan Left His Best, Scott R, Stevens S, Struggle Session, TM, Tamney G, Thaddeus A, Tina M, Tom G, Tom M, Will P, Wuto Pian, and Zarin. Oh, it's Wutopian. Okay. Silly me. Thank you guys so much for being Patreon subscribers. Literally, cannot do the show without you. To the Majority Report listeners who saw my grand return to the Majority Report last Friday, thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you on Doomed. I know literally every week I got someone saying, hey, Matt, old Matt, I didn't know you had your own show now. So I hope more of you know about this show. I thank Sam for having me on. It was a pleasure to be on with Michael and Jamie and Matt Leck and the other guy on that show. And what else? How else can you support this show other than patreon.com/MattBinder? Go to iTunes. Leave an iTunes review. You could leave a star review, a written review. It all helps get this show noticed. Very important. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MattBinder. Another update I am happy to give you guys. We are now remonetized on YouTube. YouTube has remonetized my channel. I reached out to them on Twitter. They explained them the situation. They reversed the decision because I did nothing wrong. And I'm now remonetized. So you can send your super chats if you want to give a one-time donation right here on YouTube. You don't want to subscribe to the monthly Patreon. Maybe you just liked something me and Jared talked about in this episode. It's like a little tip you give us in the super chat on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. Review on iTunes, Google Play, all that fun stuff. Support the show, patreon.com/MattBinder. I'm sure there's other things I'm forgetting. But let's go to the Patreon-only subscriber part of the show. If you're one of the lucky live stream listeners joining us live tonight on this wonderful 4th of July weekend, the end of this 4th of July weekend, stay tuned, stick around. You can get a little sneak peek of what we do here on the Patreon-only part of the show. And for the rest of you listeners, I will see you next time on Doomed!